Before we begin, I wanted to give a huge shout out to Amazon Music for partnering with us on this episode of Three Techies Banter. But you'll hear more about this later on the episode. Let's get right into today's episode.
Hey, hi everyone. We are back with another episode of 3TV Shots. I hope you're enjoying what you're listening to. We would love to know if this is fun for you, if you would like us to do something differently. This time around, for what we've learned, I thought I will start off with a little tip for everyone. So, you know how you know people get asked a lot of questions. What is this? Where is that? When did this happen? So the fun fact here is that if you replace the W with the T, you can give anybody the answer to anything. So, you know, like what is there? What becomes that? Where is it? You can say there. And when did something happen? You can say then. And so I thought that was a really clever way.
It doesn't apply to who did it. It'll become though did it.
Maybe that also works. So, because I know that I used to do this, and I kind of still do this, when my wife asks me, what is the time? I always tell her, the time is now. You know, it doesn't give any information, but hey, what the hell. So, with that, let me just share a little bit of a fun piece that I came across. If you guys have been following us closely, but not too closely, we had this whole episode about a horse's ass. So now I thought that the horse asses were restricted to animals and maybe mammals, but I've discovered a fruit that was called an ass. So this apparently there was this, I mean, I think its technical name is medlar, M-E-D-L-A-R. And this fruit, for whatever reason, for the longest time, because of the way it looked, was colloquially called the open ass. I don't know why that was at all, but it was a delicacy. It was so it had very scientific reasons. You know, it was, I think it was grown in the winter, so it was available for everyone. Unlike other fruits, it was discovered like by the Greeks, then the Romans, and it was all over the place in Europe. And it was a staple diet of lots of people. In fact, it was so popular, it has been mentioned in Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. It's there in Romeo and Juliet and a whole bunch of other books. And the funny thing is that somewhere in the 1950s, this fruit got lost and it disappeared because other fruits kind of substituted for it. But thanks to some great archaeological excavation, there were some 12 seeds preserved which were found. And now we've got this fruit back. So the open ass that was lost is found again. So, there we are.
Was the fruit called medlar in all of the books that you mentioned, or was it called open ass?
So each one had a very poetic reference to it, but it was meant to be that fruit. But the fruit was referred to in amongst the nobles. It was called something else because they didn't want to be, you know, seen to be calling anything an ass. But locally, like if you were to go down, like ek vada pav dena, then you would say ek open ass dena types. And remember, I don't think there is anyone out there who can dispute me. So
I'm going to talk about something that Nilesh and I thoroughly love. It is called fountain pens. And I've always loved writing with fountain pens. And I got down to saying, who invented fountain pens? So, of course, you know, there's controversy even over there as to who invented it. But I apologize to the gentleman who invented the fountain pen, if I get your name wrong. I did translate it. I heard the pronunciation. I wrote it down in Hindi because there was no way I was going to get it right otherwise. So, Petrache Poenaru in 1827, he's a Romanian inventor, and he received a patent for the first fountain pen with a barrel made with a large swan quill from the French government. Uh-huh. Okay. So this is happening over there. But of course, the Brits have to own a lot of things in life. So Frederick Folch, and I hope I got his name right too, invented the fountain pen in 1809, it is believed, and it was patented in England. Okay. So now you have the France versus England again happening, but I don't know who's right. The great thing is that, did you know when the first fountain pen was made in India?
I don't know, in Vedic times?
Hello, we didn't use pens in Vedic times. We were evolved in those times. So the first known fountain pens in India were made by Dr. Radhikanath Saha in 1910. And Lakshmi Stylo Pen Works in Varanasi was established in 1905 to make these pens. Okay, so it's not bad. It just took us 100 years to get to the fountain pen in India. But from 1809 in England, 1827 in France, 1905 in India, that's when the first fountain pen was made in India. So I thought that was really an interesting piece. And all the pens that you guys, we talk about, right? The ones which are the, you know, the pens the way we know them, right? They must have iridium tipped gold nibs and rubber and free-flowing ink and all of that. Those pens were first made in 1850s. So it's quite interesting how pens were made. And then each one, like Waterman had his own bit to add, and Parker made the first fountain pen with the cartridge and things like that. So each one of them has their own bits to it. But the very, very first invented and patented pens were in the 1800s.
And Nilesh, you've got a really cool fountain pen very recently, haven't you?
Yeah. Nilesh, actually, it was that fountain pen that got me to read up on this, because you were talking about the fountain pen which clicks like a ballpoint pen. And that got me thinking, saying, hey, listen, but how did the fountain pens happen? So your new pen is what triggered this one for me.
Yeah. So I've decided I'll keep collecting unique fountain pens, at least two a year. So I have reached about 12 pens now, each unique in its own way. But I'm just feeling sad about the gentleman whose name you had to write in Hindi to phonetically pronounce it. The guy never got a fountain pen named after him. I mean,
I'm not sure.
How can you? I want to buy Poenaro.
Petrache Poenaro. But I'm sure there was something behind it. Pen. That's a PPP. No, not happening. But I must, you know, that triggers it off. I should go and check if there's a company which sells Petrache Poenaro pens. I must do that.
Yeah. So from open arts, fruits and fountain pens, I think I will come to our own stuff that we are doing, right? So we started doing these. We started converting our episode into sketch notes, right? And some of you might have, who are following us on, you know, LinkedIn and other places. I mean, some interesting, cool stuff our listeners have also done. And, you know, being from the blockchain, you know, cryptocurrency blockchain, these are a couple of initial things that we did in season one. We were always looking at, you know, what is it in a podcast that can be turned into an NFT? Right. And we have been toying with this idea for a long time. We thought we should have our own NFT. And it was not very clear. You cannot take the whole podcast and convert into NFT. But now with these sketch notes, I think these sketch notes are these are work of art, very creative. A whole episode has been turned into a kind of a A4 size sketch. Which gives you gist of the whole episode and actually gist of the topic itself, right? So we thought we will now go back to this NFT and create NFTs of our sketch notes. Once they are done, we'll end up doing it on OpenSea. I mean, if you feel like buying one, please go ahead and buy some of it. I mean, these are really good. I mean, we talked to a couple of artists and then zeroed down on a few to do our sketch notes. But the reason to pick this topic was also that many people are now saying that NFTs are dead, right? And, you know, they were saying, why are you even bothering? Being from this space, honestly, I feel as a construct, NFT is not going to die. It's a non-fungible token. It will evolve. So one evolution is something called SBT, soul-bound token, right? Which people are now talking about. So you are now going from assets to a bit of identity. You know, so NFT was assets and whose ownership, could be codified, if I have to say, on a blockchain, going to soul-bound tokens. And recently, as part of, our Unblocks venture, when you look at reputation and provenance, you can actually also tie the VC verifiable credentials with NFT, and suddenly it becomes a powerful concept. So essentially what I'm trying to say here is that if you had an asset and it was an NFT, if the owner, seller, buyer, and the whole chain would have verifiable credentials, so a verifiable credentials plus NFT is ring fences the whole ecosystem, that you have reputation, you have and provenance. NFT was just provenance, right? So between NFT, SBTs and verifiable credentials, I think this space is alive still. So with that note, we'll definitely announce when our NFT is on OpenSea. Check it out. And with that, we come to end of another 3TB short. I hope you enjoyed it. And see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Three Techies Banter. Just wanted to say a big thank you to Amazon Music once again for partnering with us on this episode of the podcast.